You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
World of Work.
And it all comes together. This conversation comes together with a conversation that we had in part on the open line today. I think some of you are being ageist with Tito. And he's not even that old. He's 59. It's amazing. When you are 20, a 59-year-old looks like a pensioner. Then you get to 39, which is how old I am. And suddenly 59 looks like it's around the corner. So you kind of adjust your idea of what is old. But what we want to talk about this half an hour is exactly what should we do about the reality that we will find ourselves, and many of you do find yourselves, in multi-generational offices. What does that mean for the culture in your company, in your sector of the economy, in the world of work in general? What happens when you have a 60-year-old program manager next to a 21-year-old that is fresh from Wits Journalism School, and they come from two different eras of existence in the world? One would have grown up with a cell phone as an alternative to a pacifier, and the other person would have watched what a cell phone might look like on Beyond 2000 on a Sunday afternoon when there were predictions about future technology. And these things, when they come together in the workplace, can create all sorts of interesting organizational, cultural, and other kinds of barriers. We want to problem solve that for you. So tell us your stories and tell us what some of your challenges are. Let's cross-pollinate ideas. Maybe as a leader, as a manager, how have you managed multi-generations in a company? Are you frustrated currently? And if you are, maybe our expert Anya can help you out. 011-883-0702 in Joburg, Cape Tonians. You can call us on 021-446-0567. The person who's going to guide us through this conversation is Anya van Beek, who is from Anya van Beek Consulting and Coaching. I thought that she had abandoned our show, but she's back. Anya, it's wonderful seeing you again.
Yeah, lovely to be back. Thank you, CBS.
What an interesting conversation. We talk about the demographic bulge on the continent and in our country. We also know that the youth are not actually working, so many of them may not yet experience what we're talking about because of youth unemployment. But there is an interesting relationship, isn't there, in the world of work between generations?
No, most definitely. And as you've mentioned, multi-generations is not new to the workplace. But I think what is new to have those four generations working side by side. So if you look at the traditional workplace, we know to have the newbies or the juniors and the more senior people. Mm. And I think some sort of informal mentoring relationship, but I think it's critical to understand what is the differences without boxing people, because I think I want to put that out in the beginning. It's not about stereotyping, but I think it's realities that we need to be aware of.
Absolutely. What is a generation?
Okay, so a generation, that is a group of people born in a specific age. So let me start with the five generations that I think it's important to note. So the first one is called the traditionalist, and that's usually people older than 75. And I'm actually working at two companies where we still have the founders of the business older than 75 still being involved there. Then we have the baby boomers, and that's the age range between 54 and 75. Generation X, between the ages of 38 and 54. Then we have the millennials, or some people call them Generation Y, 22 to about 37. And then the newbies, as you said, the Generation Z, that might not necessarily be in the workplace yet. Some might study, some just entering. And that's the different generations that we're looking at.
How do we usefully understand the habits of these different generations so we can harness those differences, but we do so in a way that doesn't fall into the trap that you've already said we mustn't fall into, which is to stereotype and to box people?
Yeah, for sure.
So because presumably someone can be 50 and be digitally savvy.
Exactly.
And if they've had lack of exposure, depending on where they were born and what opportunities they've had, someone could be 18 and not be digitally savvy. So how do we keep it real that there are real generational differences, but we also don't want to stereotype people and have a tired conversation that really just reduces people to an age category?
Yeah. And I think there's two things that I would like to highlight there. I think the first one is having that awareness, not only of yourself, but let's have a look at the cheat sheets call it at that, for the generations. But before we start with that, I think if the listeners can understand what the future of work or the future workplace look like and what's the trends, they can see that all these trends actually influence the culture or the company that you're going to build, and not necessarily only focusing then on the generation. So that is where something like you mentioned it, mobility, staying connected anywhere, anytime, from anywhere, that's key. So it's almost as if people say, I'm not going to work, I actually have my work here, you know, in a device close to me. The changing demographics is definitely a reality. Looking at the percentage of our workforce, looking at something like the retirement age that has increased from 57 to about 66. Looking at what's the new behaviors that all of us is bringing to the world. I mean, think back 5, 6, 7 years ago. We're now so public, sharing thoughts on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, we're just so much more public in general And then lastly, looking at how can we use technology to engage and make the work environment more productive. Other things that I can mention is the gig economy. As you know, that's small groups of projects coming together at the same time. We see that more and more as a reality in today's environment. So I think to set the scene, it's not only about generation. These trends are definitely influencing the workplace as well.
What is interesting about them is that we can learn from each other, right? Which is part of where we want to go. So the gig economy.
Yeah.
We often peg the gig economy as a trend amongst millennials or Generation X. But what we have found is that old problems, by which I don't mean to age old people, old problems in the workplace can benefit from the habits that we can pick up from younger generations.
Yeah, and
so if you look at the lack of flexibility for women, it's something we have spoken about in this slot several times before.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sexism and misogyny the world over in our labor markets, in particular companies, organizational cultures. And the gig economy isn't just something that can help a restless Generation X employee. It can also inadvertently help us to reduce inequalities that have been in the workplace for way too long by recognizing that maybe Anya can be productive even if she's at home rather than being tied to her desk 9 to 5.
Exactly, because I mean, so often you get people being at the desk, they're there, as you said, 9 to 5, but what are they producing? Are you actually output focused? But I mean, interesting to note, and I just want to highlight that, looking at a diverse team and the value that all the different, the knowledges, the backgrounds, the skills, I mean, luckily, leaders are now seeing the value of having diverse teams. And as you say, putting those teams together, learning from one another. So I think it's all about creating that culture where we are aware of the differences, that we can foster and actually respect differences and, be productive and effective.
Do we know through research at all, how robust is the research in terms of understanding specifically the preferences in terms of what they want out of contracts, out of work conditions, work environments on the part of millennials and Generation X? Do we understand their needs?
Yes, I think we do. And I think there's a lot of research around that. And again, as I mentioned this, I just want to put it out there. Don't stereotype. Look at the awareness and then design your own cheat sheets. But if we look at millennials, I think for them it's a mindset of, I'm actually one of the customers of the company. For them, connection to purpose is key. So they want to know that the company that they're working for is making a difference in society, in the environment. It's not only about profit. And interesting enough, in one of the surveys that Pricewaterhouse has done, they actually saw that 67% of the millennials said for companies it's all about profit. They're not really actually, they don't care about the rest. So I think that connection to purpose, the big why, very important. What's the values? What's the behaviors that we look for? You've mentioned flexibility, and I can't agree with you more. Flexibility is key. And it might be different in different generations, but for the millennials specifically, where they say, why do we have to be at work? I mean, I can still, as you said, produce the same output, even though I'm at home or don't have to be at the office from 9 to 5. And I think that's a mind shift change that leaders need to make, because sometimes they believe, if I don't see you and I don't see that you at the desk, I can't really trust you.
And in that respect, I think we need to challenge ourselves to also understand that there are certain habits that would have been the templates that we were taught, or even people older than me, because I'm in that in-between generation. I'm just on the cusp of X. and the next one up, is that actually we shouldn't disparage what the needs are of millennials, because I've often heard managers in many companies, the media included, the industry that I'm most acquainted with, being really frustrated by the needs, the preferences, the desires of younger workers in the workplace.
Yeah.
And there were also things like, who are these kids?
Who demanding think, all these things, yeah.
No, specifically on your example, Anya, they will say, these kids who want purpose.
Yeah.
Since when are you entitled to fulfillment at work? You're entitled to a good salary, maybe some decent annual leave. Maybe if you're lucky, in a good year, a bonus, depending on how the company is doing. But for goodness sake, how dare you talk to me about values?
Yeah.
When I worked back in the day, you know, I would never have gotten a job if I had said to a prospective employer that I'm only going to work with you if your culture aligns with my values. How should people who are older than, say, 40, 50, manage younger workers who use that kind of value-laden language that can irritate and irk many older people who think you should be lucky that you have a job, and as long as I give you a good salary, shut up.
Yeah.
Purpose, you must go and find outside my building.
Yeah, and I think the feedback or the advice that I would give the people there would say that focus on accepting or being aware of the differences. I mean, I have two leaders that I worked with where the one, exactly like you said, that's nonsense, I'm not interested in those things, they're here to do a job. And the other one actually embracing the change and actually focusing on that. Because when you understand that if you create that culture where they can flourish and where they can reach their potential, you as a leader will look so much better because they will be a lot more engaged and the results will speak for itself.
That's right.
That is, like you said, a mindset shift change. And I mean, interesting enough, if you, for instance, take something like the brain profile in the different thinking preferences, very similar that if your brain profile, let's say you're very detailed focus and you're now talking to yourself, that is big picture. If I talk too much detail, I will lose you.
Yes.
And again, it's that awareness.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Absolutely.
With the generations.
100%. And it's just about knowing each other's preferences and then harnessing that. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, have you got a question for Anya van Beek? She is our consultant and coach on this question today. We're talking about multi-generations in one office. What does that mean in terms of cultural shifts that need to happen for the sake of the collective good of that particular company that everyone wants to contribute towards? How have you dealt with this as a manager, as a CEO, as someone in HR? If you're a younger person, we'd love to hear from you. Are you often frustrated by business as usual in terms of how the norms are set up and operate in a company? And how have you dealt with that as well? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567.
02 at Cape Talk.
World of Work.
23 minutes after 11 o'clock, World of Work. We're talking about something that is a continuous challenge in modern work environments. Not the first time we're having this conversation, not the last time, but some wonderful insights and emphases from Anya van Beek on this particular topic. We're talking about multi-generational offices and how does one deal with culture shifts that must happen in the world of work when you have people from completely different generations thrown together and they have to create magic. How do you go about doing so? Irisa, is it? Hello?
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 Hello, it's Irisa here.
Irisa, thank you for calling in today. What do you want to say?
I just wanted to add two bits of my thoughts on it. You know, I am 61 and I'm the CEO of a membership-based organization. And I think, you know, I know that we have lots of issues and challenges when the so-called older people don't want to take the changes. But I don't find it difficult. I allow the changes. I've accepted it. I've embraced it. And I find it so wonderful to work with the new types of entrepreneurs around and their values. All you have to do is, okay, meet halfway and see what we have to offer and what they have to offer.
And yeah, you're 100% correct, because what comes to mind is that concept about the chameleon worker, where they say the person or the individual that can adapt to change is the sought after individual. And that's exactly what you say. Let's have an open mind. Let's, as an individual, we foster that growth mindset.
Absolutely.
And be open. Absolutely. To the changes that's required.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it is about not feeling threatened being willing to learn. And as I said to you off air, which has been a bugbear of mine, and maybe it's because of me being in my late 30s,
yeah.
I'm irritated by older people who think they've got nothing to learn from younger people and vice versa. But actually, there's an opportunity here for mutually benefiting from the different lived experiences, skill sets that we bring into the workplace. And there's no reason to feel emasculated as a 60-year-old male CEO, sometimes listening a little bit more than normal from young people who have entered the universe at a different point in time than you.
Yes, and what we find is when we roll out what we call the crucial mentoring conversations, we find exactly that the reverse mentoring, if you're open to that, both parties, the mentor and the mentee, can learn so much from one another. I think we said just putting that ego aside a little bit.
Yeah. Feedback is underrated in this conversation, and there needs to be a continuous feedback loop. Just reflect for me on what that means practically.
Okay, so in my mind, if you look at what the millennials want as well, is that continuous feedback. And what I usually recommend to companies is to create that culture of conversations, and that leaders and managers intentionally look for opportunities to turn that moment into a learning moment. So what we found, Human Edge has done a survey in South Africa based on performance management, and interesting enough that only 2.2% of companies has adapted to that culture of continuous feedback. And if you look at the traditional performance management or review cycle, almost 62% of the employees even say that we don't find value. So for me, it's really, as a leader, irrelevant of what the performance management structure or process specifies, to embrace that culture of let's get feedback, let's have open discussions, let's look for these small opportunities of learning.
Here's an interesting tweet from Safiso. Safiso tweets the following, Anya. In our company, there are more young people now than there are older workers. This works when us, the young ones, are still juniors. But I noticed, says Safiso on Twitter, that there are tensions that start creeping in when you are young but occupying a senior level. So that's kind of like interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of like interesting. So one of the toughest things for older people maybe to adapt to is the possibility of being managed, not just reverse mentoring, which is slightly easier psychologically because I can still in my head recognize that I get paid more than you. On the organogram, I'm higher up than you. But what happens now if a 25-year-old is my line manager and I am 40 or 50?
Yeah, no, I can get that can be challenging. And especially if you think of all the conscious or unconscious biases that we have as individuals.
Yeah.
I mean, so that is just a different, ball game. So what I would recommend is for the HR teams really to focus on training, not only creating the awareness, but for both parties, provide them with skills and opportunities to actually see, but how do we disagree about topics, or how do we manage one another, etc.
That requires massive, as you said earlier, mindset changes that needs to happen.
Yeah, for sure. So for me, I think we spoke about the agile mindset earlier on, and that's why for me, having an agile approach specifically from an HR human resources perspective is so important. But what's the first step? That mind shift, not only from the HR team, but from the leaders as well.
Anya, we've spoken a lot in a sense what older workers, managers need to do in terms of orienting themselves to be ready for the agility, restlessness, the value-driven demands of younger workers entering the workplace now, their dexterity with technology, their innovativeness that is different to ours. We can sometimes be taught a formula and then perform that formula for life. Young people want to mess up formula, create their own. Can we also just say something in the minute or two that's left to young people, however, younger workers in this context, about what attitudes they need to adopt? Because I find that there's ageism in both directions in the world of work.
Yeah.
Sometimes a young person who happens to be more agile in relation to technology, do not necessarily think that they have much to be taught by Anya, because Anya is over the hill. Not you, but what I mean.
I understand what you're saying. And what's so interesting is that I once met with an employee and he said, but I'm going nowhere in the company and I'm so frustrated.
A favorite.
Yeah. And then, okay, so how long have you been here? 3 months. And I mean, that's, as you said, the expectation. But I think for them as well is if they look at the older generations and especially Generation X, that's the people that is so confident and so good with grooming talent. They like the collaboration. They like building relationships. So I think, again, for the younger generation to have that open mind, again, to go and look and see what you can learn.
Okay.
Because it's not about all conquering the world. It's really about collaboration. It's what do we bring? And we respect the differences and embrace that.
Okay. In line with agility, we're going to keep Anya longer than we had promised her. She's not going to freak out. She's going to behave like a millennial and go with the flow. Because I want to give you the chance. I want you to just check in with us. Have you experienced any interesting workplace conflict between generations? Are the kind of challenges that we've outlined recognizable to you in your office? How have you dealt with it as a younger person? Do you manage people who are much older than you? What are their attitudes? And as an older person, what have you done to meet millennials and Generation X employees halfway in terms of their needs and their demands? I'd love to hear from you. Any questions that you have for my expert guest, Anya van Beek? 011-883-0702 in Joburg, Cape Tonians, on 021-446-0567.
702 at Cape Talk.
World of Work.
25 minutes before noon, slightly extended edition of World of Work because the conversation merits it, and that's the only reason. If you want to chip in, please feel free doing so. We're talking about different generations who are all working in the same office space. What does that mean for how you behave and interact? What are the challenges of, for example, a 21-year-old being in the same building as a 60-year-old? We mustn't stereotype people. I think that's a very important basic insight Anya van Beek has given us so far. And you've got to treat people as individuals and cohorts as cohorts, and they may be outliers in terms of the trends about their generation. At the same time, there are realities that are trend realities. You may not have grown up with technology, innovation, demands about the extent to which a company needs to meet your values, and then meet people that you now suddenly recruit in your talent pipeline for whom those are the most important considerations of whether they will work for you and whether or not once they do work for you, they will stay or whether they will leave at the first sign of a clash of values, for example. How do you handle these kinds of trends? 011-883-0702. Give us a quick call if you're in Joburg, Cape Tonians, on 021-446-0567. Let's hear what the listeners have to say. Anya Busi, good morning. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Busi. What do you want to say?
Hi. Thank you, CBS. I just got the show at the tail end. I'll try to be as brief as I can. I've been running my own business for the past 30 years.
Yes.
I'm at the stage where I really need to retire and do what I'd love to do, not what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I took a conscious decision to groom and develop some youngsters that have been working with me. It is a mixed bag. Some are embracing, you know, the opportunity that I'm giving to them. But there are those that are supposed to be in the senior position and, you know, directly, you know, taking over for me. I've never been so frustrated in my life with this succession planning process. I do accept that I'm way behind in terms of technology, and I embrace their, you know, cleverness, if I may call it that way. My question is, how does one deal with, you know, the attitude, you know, being experienced, being matured? One can feel it, one can see it, you know, despite the effort of saying, I acknowledge you, you are young, you are bright, you've got the energy, but I've got the wisdom, you know, and the instant gratification, it's just, you know, yeah, it's out of hand. So my question is, how can one do, I mean, one to actually make them understand and appreciate that you care for them, you care for their future, you've started this business, you want them to take it to the highest level.
Sure. Anya?
Okay, so if I listen to this, thank you, Busi. I think that's such a valuable question. And what comes to mind is having those candid yet respectful conversations with the individual at hand. So let's call them having a crucial conversation with that individual. And I think what's so important is to actually discuss the right thing. So it might be that that it's if the attitude is the issue, is having a look, is that the impact on the relationship or the working relationship? Are you actually addressing that, or are you almost sidestepping the attitude issue and talk about all the other matters? And I think having the crucial conversation, it's imperative to build what I would call an environment of safety, or create that safe space where you can share anything with anyone. And the two things that comes to mind there is mutual respect and mutual purpose. So both parties must have mutual respect, but also what's the mutual purpose that we're working towards. But in the end, tackle it head on, have those candid yet respectful conversations that sometimes needed, because I think we tend to sidestep them.
You know, I'd love to see clear research, because we are trying to have, and I think you've done an excellent job, talk about trends that are real, and at the same time avoid reductionist conversation where we reduce people to boxes where we think, if I know this about you, you're 54, I immediately know you. Because one of the stereotypes about young people is that they seek instant gratification. I wonder how much of that has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, or even just a falsehood that we believe because we say it often enough.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of the clients also actually mentioned that, you know what, it's a culture of instant gratification, and it's a culture of, standing there with the open hands, we give, give, give.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they just want to be satisfied, fulfilled, for example. So our language here is also quite interesting. Part two, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling in. Share your story with us.
I just sent a message to say I've been a manager for the last 6 years, no?
Yes.
When I started, I was 29. Now I'm 35.
Mm.
But when I started, I was working with older people. Everyone in my team was older than me.
Yeah.
So they were pushing back. So we had to set some ground rules to say this is how we're going to work. This is what I expect from you guys and everything.
Mm.
And since then, everything has been moving smoothly. So what I did for myself, I started reading on management books to equip myself on how to deal with different types of people. I've been reading the likes of John Maxwell and them, just to hear what the other successful leaders have done before us. So...
And what was most helpful for you practically, Patu, in terms of getting people older than you to accept your authority as a younger manager?
What I did, I had to learn their strengths, what they are good at, and then also use that to my advantage to say, if your CS is good at, say, for example, on Excel reports, your CS will deal with the Excel reports. And so we deal with that. So that really worked to my advantage, because everyone is in the area where they can they produce the best.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And it's interesting because there isn't a magic formula for getting someone older than you to respect your authority. Patu went back to the basics and to the classics.
Mm.
Let me affirm Anya in terms of her contribution to the team and the company, and her age is irrelevant. And human beings, ultimately, we're simple, right? The psychological creatures. We want to feel valued.
Exactly.
And whether the person managing us is older or younger than us, if there's a sense of respect and an understanding and affirmation of what I bring to the party, that can quickly help to inadvertently close the gap that exists between us across generations.
Yeah, for sure. Spot on there. And I think the other thing that comes to mind is the whole thing about creating that environment where, as I said previously, where we respect one another, where we have those open conversations.
Yeah.
So the one tip that I would like to give the listeners is go and Google the SCARF model. That's a model that David Rock has designed, and it's really giving you wonderful insight in how individuals experience work, what's important to them, and it's a different approach, and that might be helpful as
well. Absolutely. Anya, you've been great as always. Anya van Beek of Anya van Beek Consulting and Coaching, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Cape Talk.
Eusebius Makaiser.
17 minutes before noon. Thank you so much for staying with us. I hope you enjoyed that last conversation. If you did catch only the tail end of it, remember, all of our podcasts, including for World of Work, you can find those by simply going to Cape Talk. 702.co.za, alternatively 702.co.za, and just regularly listen back to any of the conversation that you might have missed, or perhaps you want to hear it for a second time. You can certainly do so by just going to look at where we have archived them. The same goes for that middle hour conversation about the role of business in terms of growing our economy. I thought that both Bonang and Sandile were absolutely gold. I loved how they were equally skilled at talking in precise detail about what happens in business, but also stepping back from the minutiae and slotting business into the wider social and political conversations.